Welcome, everybody, to the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Here we have Moose Bingham. You like that voice, dude?
Oh, that was the perfect voice. I'm ready to go.
Nice, yeah.
I wasn't ready for this podcast. Then all of a sudden it was like, yes, here we go.
That annoying little whiny nasally voice of mine whining on in here. Moose, you have the War Room.
Yes, I do.
You own the War Room.
Yep.
Tell us about the War Room.
So War Room is a very interesting company that
I've got. I want you to eat one of these.
Here's the thing. I can smell the cookies. I can see the cookies. I should not partake of the cookies because I'm a chubby little kid, but I'm going to because they look so delightful.
Look at this, man.
You need a cookie.
Look at that three-layer cookie. Oh, it's falling apart.
Look at that. Dude, that's fresh out of the oven right
that
there.
That is fresh out of the oven.
Here, man, you want the other half of that?
I'll grab some in a minute. Basically, War Room was founded in 2011 for the BYU football team. They had a problem with the mission age change. And so in the LDS church, guys are asked to go on a mission for 2 years. And the football team had to keep track of guys going on missions, coming back from missions, doing all that stuff. So initially, that's why War Room was built. I came on to the company in 2018 after I was a player, and I also recruited and was a coach for BYU. And I went to War Room, and I've helped expand it to where we're into every single P5 conference. We've got high school teams. We've got a lot of other
What's a P5
people.
Conference?
P5 conference, it's like ACC, Pac-12, Big 10, Big 12,
Power
SEC.
Power 5 conference.
Power 5. So it's the top conferences in college football. So we go and help them with their roster management, equipment management, scholarship management, lots of things. We're just a CRM, and it's a really fun deal. I mean, we've been expanding like crazy, and I love what I do.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
What are some of the schools that you guys have?
Because
I know every time I talk to you, dude, you got more and more.
USC, Vanderbilt, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Ole Miss, BYU, UConn, Duke. Lots of schools all over.
Yeah.
It's just a blast to have this. And it's a blast to interact with people all over the country because you go to the Northwest, you're like, wow, this is different. Then you go to the Southeast and you're like, oh, you're part of the same floating rock I'm on. This is crazy. And it's just fun to see all these people and like interact with everyone and see everyone going towards their different goals. Because some teams I'll talk to, they're like, we just want to win 6 games. And other teams, they're like, if we don't win the national championship, I swear I'm firing every coach in here. And you're just like, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Holy Hannah.
Wow.
So it's interesting to help people achieve their goals, and that's what I love about War Room.
Cool.
What do you do for them specifically?
So I am the VP of sales. I also do everything from strategic development. I work with the programming team. I do literally everything. Name a hat, I've got it. I mean, today I was doing some strategic partnerships.
With Kizix?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, I cannot say that.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Kizix is my favorite. Just got their brand new shoes that come out on Wednesday. Oh, they're delightful on my feet.
I'll show them to you. I'll sell you on them, Wade.
Yeah.
I've been wearing them for a little bit now.
I've never even heard them.
They're
heard
sick.
Of them.
You've never heard of the Kizix?
No. Are you wearing them right now?
Yes.
Let's see that shoe.
Dude, so you just put your foot in like that, and it'll pop right on.
So these are Kizix as well.
Oh, those are?
Yeah, and yeah. You don't ever tie your shoes.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And you don't
awesome.
Ever smash anything, and it's just...
See?
It's just the fat lazy man's freaking dream.
Freaking awesome.
It's not even the fat lazy man. I mean, this is what the American person needs.
You're
I
right.
save 3 seconds a day
this
wearing
is the
this shoe.
The red-blooded American. Moose is a red-blooded American. Told that 3 times today, I think.
I was feeling very patriotic at lunch today. I was like, I need a cookie in one hand and a Kizik on my foot, and I'm good to go.
Dude, Moose, will you tell everybody what position you played in college real quick?
Well, working on kick steps and good throws, I could have played a plethora of positions. I could tackle anyone. I could cover everyone. But I settled finally with my 5'7" frame on kicker and punter.
Kicker and punter.
Yeah.
See, I thought D end or middle linebacker.
That's
or something.
What everyone assumes. I mean,
probably.
I was at my house once and I had 8 roommates in one of the houses I was living in. And these girls came in and they're like, guess which one of us is a college football player? And they're like, none of us. And they're like, one of us is. They went through the 8 other guys before they landed on me and they just decided I was a liar. They're like, that's not true. I'm like, well, I'm going to practice in 10 minutes, so I'll see you later.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Dude, do you still help with coaching at all?
So I coached at Snow College from 2018 to 2021. I've got a couple guys in the NFL that I've coached. I've got the number two punter that will be the number one punter in the country in the class of 2025. I coach, I do a lot of private lessons. I do a lot of consulting for recruiting. I do a lot of things in football. I'm even KSL's head color commentator right now.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, so what I got to ask you, you know, my wife's family, they're big BYU fans.
Bless their hearts. Are they okay?
What's going on with their kickers, dude? I've never seen such terrible, terrible kicking. They're missing extra points. Just field goals. They're missing extra points.
It's harder than it looks. I mean, this beautiful face, I just look at the ball and it goes through the posts. But kicking is a very difficult thing. It's like, it's almost like golfing, but someone else is throwing the golf ball in and someone else is holding it, and you only have 1.3 seconds to get the ball off the tee. Kicking is interesting, to say the least. If you don't have the right technique, the right form to fall back on when you're going through mental struggles with kicking, then it becomes that much more difficult of a thing because you're thinking about, how do I do this? What do I do? And it's 90% mental. I mean, obviously it's not very physical, but when you have the mental fortitude to take on a miss, that's when you become an elite athlete in kicking.
Right.
Dive into that a little bit more.
Dive into it?
Yeah, yeah. When you have the mental fortitude to take on a miss, and you're talking like, I'm going up to kick this ball, I don't give a damn if it goes in or not. Is that what we're talking about there?
Yes. So with anything, kicking is very interesting because you always have to rely back on the principles that you have developed. You have to lean back on your form, on your technique. If you don't have the right technique, if you don't have the right form, it's hard to make a field goal because you're just going in there mentally and that's it. But when you can rely on your technique, when you can rely on your form, when you can rely on your previous successes, and when you can rely on the ability that you have constructed through the offseason, then you're going to be a successful kicker no matter what. So maybe something happens, a wind gust comes in, whatever, but then you can go out and you can go in the next time and be like, I know that I can do this because I've done this 1,000 times before and I've developed the skills I need to do this.
So so we know how to do the form and technique and coaching. How do you build that mental fortitude?
So there's a couple ways to build it. Visualization is always big. When I was at BYU, I got a mental strength coach named Craig Manning. He works with like Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You're looking at the wrong guy here.
Come on.
You want me to recognize a sports guy? Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
So he works with the Bucks. He works with like all sorts of guys. So Craig Manning, I sat in his office for hours and hours. I took his class multiple times, understanding the mental side of high performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to go into, understanding the basics and then getting through that mental side of high performance. And there's a lot of tricks. I mean, we could go really deep into high performance if you want, or we can go surface level.
I'd like to go deep into it. And because whether it's your mentality, right? So can you use these same mental skills to be a good kicker, to be happier and more fulfilled in life? Like, is there any crossover there?
So the big thing for me,
because I believe that's all mental, happiness and fulfillment and joy, like that's something that can be in your mind, right? That probably is.
No, it 100% is. It's funny because I'll sit down with people that, I mean, I grew up super, super blessed. Some of the kids I'd interact with would be like Larry H. Miller's grandkids, and like all these people were super, super well off, but a lot of them weren't extremely happy. And then I'd go to some of the ghettos in America and I'd find some of the happiest people in the world. And I'm like, why are you happy and this person who has everything isn't happy? It just didn't click for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is to be happy, you have to just make your own happiness one and develop the skills you need to understand happiness. I wake up every day happy as a clam because I'm like, this is the greatest day in the world. I'm me. Like, have you guys ever seen Ted Lasso before?
Oh, yeah.
I subscribed to the Apple TV so I could watch that. But I couldn't find the remote yesterday, so I didn't start it. But I was trying to start it yesterday.
No, Ted Lasso is incredible.
It's
so good.
It's amazing. There's one scene where Jamie Tart is in there in the first season. Mm-hmm. And Ted and this girl are going back and forth on whether you'd rather be a panda or a lion. They ask Jamie Tart, they're like, Jamie, would you rather be a panda or a lion? And he's like, I don't want to be either. I want to be me. And Ted's like, you don't know how mentally strong that is. And I think about that often, and I love being me. Because every day I get to affect different people. I get to meet different people. I get to go around and do so many cool things like this podcast.
Yeah.
What a random fun thing.
There's a book that I read. It's been quite a while. It's called The Happiness Advantage.
Mm.
And they were talking about just because, who gets to meet people? Like, most jobs get to meet people. But it doesn't matter. The fact is you're grateful for what you're doing. So they did a study, and it was measuring, like, house cleaners and, like, hotels, you know, whoever's. Mm. And one group, they told how many calories they're burning every single day by vacuuming and all that. And the other group, you know, it was the control. And one group, just because they were focused and, like, told how much they're exercising, per se, you know, running the vacuum or whatever, they lost weight and the other group didn't. But the book's called The Happiness Advantage, and it's all about it is what you focus on every single day.
Yeah, it's so one thing I'm doing right now, I consult kids on recruiting all the time because I was the on-campus recruiting coordinator at BYU, and I help all these colleges. I'm like, why don't I help the other side as well? So I've got a online course that goes through it, but I'll sit down with kids, and they're like, I want to be recruited. I'm like, great, let's go get you a Division III opportunity, and you'll pay $60,000 a year, and it'll be awesome for you. And they're like, well, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want? So I sit down with people, and I ask them where they want to be in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, 5 years from now, what is it exactly that you want? They're like, I want to run a 4.4 or a 4.5. I'm like, well, no ors, let's get exact. So we plan out exactly what their life is like, make targets for them, and then we go back year by year and deconstruct that to what they're doing this year and how they can get to their goals. And I think having goals makes you happy because it gives you something to aim at, something to wish for. And if you have the right support system around you, I think you can accomplish anything to get to those things. So it's interesting to see human beings and what they want and how they want to get there. Without just throwing out a wish, let's actually have a plan to get there.
Yeah.
And then you can accomplish those goals quicker.
And that's a big part that's just missing is, you know, we have kind of goals, but they're not clear goals. There's not timelines associated with them. And then a lot of joy and fulfillment come from the feeling of progression. But how do you know if you're progressing? What are you measuring against?
Yeah. You know? And that's where I think 5-year plans come into huge. I mean, in the first 5-year plan I made, I was like, okay, I want to be in a townhouse within 5 years. And that was a mind-blowing goal.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like 3 years ago, and now I'm in like my dream house, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope that we can have two cars. Two cars? That's like amazing. And then we've got both of our cars paid off, and we're hitting all of our goals, and I'm getting my company to where it needs to be. And then I'm helping people in the process. Because if you can help people, I think the best group to impact is the football community because they impact so many other people in their schools, in their communities, and they have a platform to really change lives.
So every day you wake up, you're stoked because you're Moose Bingham.
Oh, it's a good person to be. You should try it.
Freaking Bingham.
Oh, and a lot of that is, are you associating it because you love the work you're doing? And then I guess the follow-up question, how do we relate this to more people?
Sure. So I was stoked to be me even earlier in life. So I feel like I'm living on borrowed time, to be honest with you. So when I was 6 years old, I was running under a tramp, and I've had so many like freak things. This is one of the first ones. I ran under my family's tramp, got my head landed on, and I dislocated my neck, and I switched C1 and C2. And my parents were told that if I got hit again, I'd be a quadriplegic. And now I'm like, what would my life be like if I could only turn my head 15 degrees?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's a huge thing. Then when I was 10, I broke my femur for the first time.
For the first
time? Yeah, for the first time.
Yeah.
How many times have you broke it?
Multiple times. So if I would have been alive 100 years earlier, I wouldn't have a leg, to be honest with you, because it was a compound fracture. I was getting pulled behind a four-wheeler, hit a metal bar, and snapped it in half. And then at my college career ended when I went down to a junior college. I started at Utah, went to BYU. then ended at Snow College. I hit a 51-yard field goal. I did a celebration with one of my teammates, dislocated my knee, broke the base of my femur, tore all the cartilage off the bone, and all of that happened. And then it was a really tough time because the girl I was talking to ended up breaking up with me as well. So I'm like, okay, there goes football. There goes the girl I'm talking to. What is life? Because I was on non-weight-bearing for 2 months sitting in my parents' basement. And every day I'd be like, oh, who can I reach out to? Who can I talk to that's having a bad day so I can, like, help them out? Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting. Some of the funnest times I had was when I was starting War Room and I made $5,000 in the first year. And I had to get two or three other jobs. I was working four jobs at one point, and it was a blast. I was working at a barbecue joint named Five Star. I was mowing lawns. I was getting black water out of RVs. That was a trip.
Uh-huh.
Black water's not good water. You're just like, oh, stanky, stanky. And every day I woke up, I was still like, this is sick. And I see people at barbecue joints now. I'm like, they have the best job in the world. They get to serve people barbecue. And at the end of the day, they get to kife that freaking mac and cheese and get some good food and go home. And it's a happy day.
I love it. I mean, you really are speaking just to how you view it, mm-hmm. right? Another person would be like, that sucks to work at a barbecue joint because all they're doing is just moving their hands like this all day. But it's like, no, you have to think, I guess, what that goal is. Like, I'm giving somebody food. I'm giving somebody substance. I'm allowing them to enjoy something else.
Oh,
and you really have to dive into that rather than just see the surface level.
I made a sick game out of barbecue. Dude, I would run the cashier sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I would get monster tips. And I was like, this is so fun because I'm getting paid like 25, 30 bucks an hour
uh-huh.
and just BSing with people at the cash register. I'd like flip the screen around. I'd be like, sure, that's the amount you want a tip? Do you know, did you see me cut that? I gave you a little extra. I don't, you know? So it's just a good time. I mean, even serving cookies, like, that's happiness in a box.
Yeah.
Life is good when you're serving cookies and then you come home smelling delightful. My wife would always be pissed when I worked barbecue because she's like, I don't like the smell of smoke. And I'm like, people would kill to have this smell on them at the end of the day. She's like, go in the shower. Get out of my house. I'm like, okay, yeah, good point.
Let me ask you this, Moose.
Yeah.
Do you ever have times where you get down?
Honestly, I don't think I have time to get down. I have a weird personality where it was really effective for kicking. Where I would just go, and after a game-winning field goal, for example, I remember after my junior year of high school, I hit a game-winning field goal by like a foot and ended up winning our region championship, putting us in a good position to win the state title. And after the fact, I was like, oh my gosh, what would have happened if I missed that kick? And a lot of people face that before. I face it after. And I almost had a panic attack sitting there, and I'm like, oh, you guys would not have liked me if I missed that. And everyone's like, yeah, we probably wouldn't have, but we really love you right now. And I'm like, how scary is that?
But then the next time you had a big field goal to kick, it didn't enter your brain?
No. I mean, I'd always walk out there singing Taylor Swift or humming something or the other.
Really?
Usually it was Taylor Swift.
Have you been iced before?
Yeah.
And what do you do when the opposing team calls a timeout, tries to put the pressure on you? What are you doing in your head to not get too into your head?
That time, it was the last time I got iced was my senior year of high school, and it was against Pleasant Grove, and it was a game-winning field goal that was 45 yards out, and I was a cocky sucker. So I started clapping at the other coach. I said, thank you for calling that. I needed that. Appreciate it. And he was confused. And then I grabbed my holder and I was like, hey, Sky, after this kick, I'm going to pretend to be a Viking in the middle of the field rowing a boat. And he's like, don't do that. I'm like, no, I've already made it. And that doesn't matter. I'm going to make this. And I have to kick it over like Joe Kruger and like these 6'7" kids. I'm like, doesn't matter. I hit this kick. It would have been good from 60. I get so excited that I start running to the middle of the field. I'm like, Viking time, here I come. And I get tackled from behind from my holder. So,
because he doesn't want to get flagged or something like that, right?
No, he was just like, you're not that fast, and I can tackle you before you make this horrible mistake.
Yeah.
But he's like, I think I'll look like a dork if you do that. Don't do that, Moose. But I think that you just kind of have to anticipate success. Like, even when I started War Room and I was making $5,000 a year, my wife was like, woohoo, we're in trouble. And I'm like, we're going to be great. I'm not too worried. And she's like, why? I'm like, because I know what I can do, and I know that we're going to get through this if you just give me some time. And it's working out now. I mean, it freaked me out. One of my bonus checks the other day, I made five times the amount I made in one day than I made in a full year when I started with War Room. So it's just, it's interesting to watch people. I think they attract what they put out into the world. And I think if you surround yourself with positive, fun people, you're going to have a positive, fun time in this life, because we're only on this floating cool rock for a little bit. I mean, might as well make it fun.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that? It's like a meme, and there's two people that are like with a pickaxe and going towards the gold.
Yeah.
And the top guy like turns around and he's like, you know, I didn't get it. And the bot, and anyways, but he was like this far. You know, I think a lot of it is, who just told me that? I don't know. It, like, you don't, they don't have the balls to keep pushing it through. You know, like, I bought Dirty Dough from a guy who was like, he could have built this, but it was just scary because he wasn't profitable at that time. He didn't see the vision. And I think it's just like, well, I do. Like, that was the only difference. Is like, I see the vision. I also don't have any experience in food or franchising, but I see the vision, and I'm going to go make that happen.
The big thing for you is you saw the vision, you had a target, and you knew where you were going. I think that's what makes the hugest difference in life. I knew with War Room, I was like, we're going to be here, we're going to do this, and I'm going to find a way to do that, heck or high water. But a lot of people, they don't know where they're going, and that becomes a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And then they look for the out a lot of times.
Why is it that we don't know where we're going?
I don't think anyone's sat down with these people and been like, hey, where do you want to go? I think people just let life happen to them instead of...
And it's because we need that outside influence of somebody else saying, where are you going? Rather than us just figuring out, like, being present, like, what do I want? Because I mean, when I did that, I am leaning on other people, on business partners or business coaches, of like, where do I want to go? Who do I want to be? And then I get really clear. Like, I do need that assistance.
Sometimes you do need the assistance. Sometimes you don't. But it's just the questions you ask yourself, and you have to go into a quiet place. I've talked to some CEOs. Once a year, they'll go into the mountains for a week. Mm-hmm. And they'll take a notebook, and they'll be like, okay, I need to understand exactly what I want. But if you don't have a target, I mean, there's an ancient Asian proverb that says the unaimed arrow never misses. But the unaimed arrow doesn't hit crap either.
Yeah.
So if we're just floating through life, letting the wind take us where we need to go, and we don't let our sails out and really have a target, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I think there's – do you ever have a fear of putting out that target of where I'm going? I had that.
What do you mean?
I want to sell Dirty Dough for $1 billion.
Cool.
I didn't want to say that because, like, what? That's a big goal. People are going to judge that goal if I don't hit it. But now I'm like, I don't care.
Who's going to judge that goal?
I don't know. That's what I told myself.
So a lot of us have this problem where we think everyone's thinking about us, about...
Nobody gives a damn about me.
I do. I love you.
Thanks, man.
But a lot of people just sit there and they're like, oh, people are going to judge me based off of this, 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 and this. Let's say you didn't hit your goal, Bennett. Let's say you sold it for $100 million. Oh, no.
Yeah.
what a failure.
Gosh,
what a failure
it.
That was. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like,
that was something that kept me back.
Yeah.
Was I don't want to put my goal out there because what if I don't get it? Then I'm one of those guys that just talk, you know, they talk the big game and they don't hit it. And, so it limited me for a while. And then I was like, it was actually a business coach. And I was like, well, I don't want to post about it because of this and that. And he's like, do they pay your bills? And I'm like, no, they don't pay my bills. He's like, well, F them. I was like, yeah. And that's really when I started. And that was social media, because I was like, I wasn't active on social media.
Why?
Because of that. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm not going to go on there and share goals with a bunch of strangers that are going to follow up with me in 5 years and say, haha, you didn't hit your goal. But obviously nobody's going to do that. But that's what I thought, you know. So that was really when I got out there and I'm like, this is what we're doing. This is the goal. We want 1,000 stores, 1,000 wellness centers, $1 billion. Like, that's the goal. And then, man, that gave me a lot of clarity. And now it still gives me that clarity to push towards that. But I was blocked for a while.
Yeah. I don't think you necessarily need other people. You just need to ask yourself the right questions in the quiet of your mind. And I think putting goals out there is huge. There's a lot of stats about telling other people your goals and having accountability there. Mm-hmm. But I love that you're like, who's going to come up to me in 5 years? I mean, I have friends that tell me outlandish goals all the time, and I'm pumped for them. I'm like, I hope you hit this. But if you don't, look at the experience you have. Like, I started a podcast 3 years ago called the Utah Preps Podcast. And in that podcast, my first episodes were the worst things you've ever heard in your entire life. It was embarrassing. I was like, who would listen to this? Even my family was like, Moose, this sucks. And I just got to keep learning. I got to keep growing. I got to the point where I have different sponsors. I get paid a lot to do that podcast. ESPN picked it up. And after ESPN picked it up, KSL was like, hey, you're really good at about talking about something that's so niche. Mm-hmm. Why don't you come be a color commentator for us? And then I got better at that. And now I'm the best color commentator they have. So if I didn't take that risk where it's like, hey, I'm going to act like a fool. I'm telling all these parents that their kids suck at football. And I'm having these people call me and be like, who are you? I'm like, well, I'm Moose and I worked at BYU. They're like, what makes you special? But now I've built credibility.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's go. And so I love when people fail. I mean, failure is just like the coolest thing in the world because you get to go and take what you learned into your next adventure. And so, I mean, even if your guys' cookie empire doesn't work, maybe you're like, work. Even if it doesn't. I love the confidence, though.
It's working, man.
But the things you guys have learned and the amount of growth you guys have had in this adventure has been so cool to watch. Because I remember flying out to Arizona and looking at the first cookie store. I was like, hey, your cookies kind of suck.
Yeah, they did.
I've never been so confused in my life looking at 30 different flavors, to be honest with you. And
this was right, Wade, that right when I bought it, there was 24 permanent cookies.
Oh, are you serious?
No rotations. Yeah, there's 24. Anyways, yeah. And all the names were crazy, so you don't even know what you're getting because you're like, well, what does the Moose special have in it? You know, and then you have to ask 24 different times, like, what is that cookie out? Anyways, it was a mess.
Wow.
It was confusing.
I walked in and I walked out knowing less about Dirty Dough than I walked into there. And I was like, okay, what makes this different? But then Bennett was able to go in and he's like, okay, we got this, we got this. These are the purposes. This is what I want to do with it. And it's a head fake. And you're going to help people in other ways than just feeding their stomachs. And that's what I like. But you wouldn't have been able to do all that unless you got out of your comfort zone, unless you started learning.
Mm-hmm.
And are you perfect? No. You're this close, but we're still working on it.
That's what my wife tells me, man. Just that close.
But it's so cool to see the growth you had. And even if you failed, it's like, this is a cool experience for you.
Oh, for sure. And that's I think that because I look at it the same way of what am I learning? How am I progressing versus how much money did I make that day?
I mean, developing those skills, that's really when you do get money. I mean, I look back on some of my first pitches and they're so bad, just like my first podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. What I like about podcasts is I can look back and see how horrendous they are. I mean, that's a really cool thing to see where it's like, this is where you started. This is where you're at. But with you, I was laughing because you even came up to me and you're like, hey, do you want to be involved in Dirty Dough? I was like, yes, but I'm not the right guy.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
If you have self-awareness to be like, hey, Bennett's going to be better off with this person, this person, this person, this person. That's a win on so many levels.
Yeah, you've connected me with so many different people, man. I appreciate that.
No problem. I think it's going to be win-wins for everyone. And there's a lot of people on this planet that are like, I have to go out by myself and do this, and I'm going to be the only one, this Michael Jordan mentality.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Michael Jordan had four other people on the court with him, you psychos.
Yeah.
They all brought something different, and if you can get the right team around you, then it's so cool. I mean, my partner, Randy, he is the best programmer I've ever seen. He does so many cool things. He has strengths where I have weaknesses, and I have strengths where he has weaknesses. You got to surround yourself from different people. That's why I always laugh, because, like, Bennett, you and I have very similar skill sets. Having two Bennetts at Dirty Dough doesn't do much for you, does it?
No.
But having partners does. And that's what's cool. I think there's so much success that we can share and get into it, but you have to get off the sidelines. I think there's a lot of depression in this world because people are just waiting for the world to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I want this to happen. I was laughing. I was with a family member the other day, and he's like, well, once I get out of college, I'm going to make $100,000 a year. And I'm like, doing what? And he's like, well, that's just what people do. I'm like, oh, you are in for a rude awakening, buddy. What happens when he doesn't make that money? What happens when he doesn't hit those goals? And he's been told his whole life, if you go to college, you get this. If you go there, you get this. You have to make your own luck, and you have to make your own money at the end of the day. So it's interesting to watch different people.
And what's that, the quote that you always say, Bennett? Happiness is when?
Expectations and reality.
Yeah.
Expectations versus reality.
Yeah, so if reality exceeds expectations, that's what happiness
and
is.
And then, yeah, and then if it doesn't, if your expectation is I'm going to make $100,000 right after college, and you don't, but if that same person, if their parents said you're going to make $40,000 after college, and he comes out of college and he makes 60 grand.
Ooh.
One scenario is he's happy and the other scenario he's not, and the only difference was the expectation.
That's probably why I'm so happy. Very little was expected out of me as a child. They're like, bless this kid's heart. He's dumb as a doornail, and he's just he's not going to make much out of his life, but we'll hopefully he figures something out.
Okay, so I think we've contradicted ourselves a little bit. We're talking about expectations, and you know, we need to kind of go with the flow. We need to try. We need to not be scared of failure, but also we have to have our goals nailed down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's have our goals nailed down, but not be scared to fail.
That's not a contradiction at all.
No, to me. So maybe it's not a contradiction, but I just wanted to clarify that. Have your goals, be very clear with them, and if you fail, you just make your next goal.
Yeah, so I revisit my 5-year plan every single year. That's kind of the nice thing. Matthew McConaughey came out and someone asked him, they're like, hey, Matt, who's your biggest idol? Who do you look up to the most? He sat and he thought about it and he's like, honestly, my idol is me in 10 years. And they came back to him 10 years later. And they said, who's your idol now? He's like, it's me in 10 years. It's a moving goal. Your goals are going to change. Your life is going to change. But the skills you develop in chasing those goals, the people you meet, the accomplishments you have, even if it's not that total accomplishment, will astound you.
And I think that's how you find the joy in the journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not like I'm going to be happy when I hit the goal, but it's like this goal is here, but I'm going to be happy every step of the way, the improvement, the connections, the ability to learn, whatever the improvements
that I make. One of my goals when I was in high school, we went into the weight room. And in the weight room, they had this huge wall. And in the wall, it said everyone that was going to make that had made first team all state. And they had pictures around the weight room. And I was looking at it and I was like, this is so cool. I want to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming off playing center. And they're like, Moose, you can't even start on our sophomore team or the freshman team. Heck, I'm sure there's some eighth grade teams that wouldn't take you right now. I'm like, that's a valid point. So I had the goal to get on the wall, but I had to find a way to get up there. I'm like, well, I really like kicking things. I hate chasing after soccer balls, though. There's a position in football where you only run 3 steps. Let's go. And so I was able to transition where it's like, let's get to the goal, but there's not just one way to get there. Uh-huh. If you don't get to $1 billion valuation in cookies, let's say you get to 500 million, maybe you make some cupcakes and that gets you to the other 500 million. And then you got to the $1 billion valuation. But you have to be willing to pivot.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to say, when is this not working? And when can I have a better time doing it? Because I've seen people take ideas just to the graveyard where you're just like, calm down.
That didn't work.
Stop running your head into the wall so many times. But you have to take it to the point where you know it doesn't work, not to where you're an inch within the diamonds.
Yep.
From
yeah, we pivoted a lot with I mean the plan when we started when we were going to franchise was you sell five at a time.
Okay.
And the first one is the commissary kitchen, but Moose has to run his own commissary kitchen. So you're just going to buy a larger spot, a few thousand square feet, and then you're going to serve cookies out of there. And then you're going to open up your second one, and then you have to transport the dough over there.
Wow.
So that was the idea. And then I told somebody that, the owner of Everbowl,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, okay, why? And he's like, this is how you fix it. But that was the goal. And man, we pivoted 100% from that. You know, now as a corporate, that's what we do, and the franchisees don't have to deal with that. But he's like, that will fail. He's like, if you require your franchisees to do that,
but you're still going towards the same goal.
Yes, because that was just a means to the end, right? So I could change the means, and I can still get to the end.
Yeah, and I'm no Jeff Saturday, even though I looked up to him all growing up. He's the center for the Colts that just
thank
got
you for
named.
Explaining because I was like,
yeah, I was like, who the heck is Jeff Saturday?
Jeff Saturday is the current head coach of the Colts, actually. Just got named today.
Oh,
but
sweet.
Growing up, I had two idols. Jeff Saturday, because he scored a touchdown in the AFC Championship in 2006. And I was like, centers can score touchdowns? They can touch the ball without throwing it between their legs? Let's go. And then also Adam Vinatieri. I was like, I can be a mix of these two.
Uh-huh.
But I found out real quick I could not be Jeff Saturday. And if you're willing to pivot, you can still accomplish all your goals. No matter what I do, even if I have the best center basketball moves in the world, I'm probably not going to be a center, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I can
but
kick the
yeah,
crap
kick
out
it.
Of a ball.
You can pivot it.
Yeah.
I know you work a lot with kids.
Yep.
And I want to go into that and why you chose that route and I guess the fulfillment that comes from it.
So really what I do with kids is I looked at a lot of kids and then they looked at football with regret. They were like, hey, when I played football, I could have gone somewhere, but I didn't. And I was like, why didn't you go somewhere? They're like, because I didn't know how to get myself recruited. I didn't know how to put myself in front of coaches. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the game. And I was like, let's help you. So I created Football Recruiting Pro based off of that idea. It's an online course that teaches kids the recruiting process. I don't want a kid to just be like, hey, I was first team all state. Why didn't I get any scholarship offers? Well, you didn't develop your social media. You didn't send your film to the right person. You didn't go on unofficial visits. And by helping kids understand this process, it helps them understand how to advocate for themselves for jobs in the future. It helps them understand and get the confidence to do a lot of other things. And I think if kids can do that, if I can impact these kids in this way, making plans with them, teaching them about goals, then they can in turn do that for other people. And that's what I like, why I like that portion of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got my hand in about 15 different pots, but that one is really cool to me, where I can help kids. I mean, I was on a phone call yesterday with someone from Maryland. This family, they're like, my kid did this, we want to do this. What can we do? And I'm like, let's find out what your son wants to do. And I've probably ruined more football careers than anything else because I'm like, your kid doesn't like football.
Yeah.
Don't live vicariously through them. Or your kid's not good enough.
Yeah.
You married the wrong person.
And yeah, put it back on them.
Not enough like, athletic genes in the DNA.
Yeah, they're like, what are you talking about? My wife was a cheerleader. And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Like, sorry. Or my husband was whatever. And I'm like, okay, well. Unfortunately, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Dude, that's funny, man. That was me in high school, dude. I didn't even...
Your parents married the wrong people?
My parents married the wrong people. No. I played football, and I felt mm-hmm. like I was good. You know, first team all state, all of that. But I didn't even look at anything.
Okay.
No scholarships, didn't apply. I mean, I didn't even have film to send anybody, you know. Never even did that.
You were first team all state in football?
Oh, yeah. Linebacker.
Yep.
Yeah, I had like, I don't know, it's been a bit, but I was also pretty good at running back. I rushed for over 1,000 yards and got quite a bit of tackles, but I was better at linebacker, I guess.
So
are you serious? We've never talked about this ever.
Yeah, man, I was football.
What the heck?
So with that, maybe you're not a BYU kid, but maybe you were a Southern Utah University kid or a Weber State kid, and if you would have gone to those schools and been like, hey, I will make cookies one day and I will donate to your program if you let me on here.
I could have got on. Yeah, yeah.
There's so many opportunities. I mean, I had Weber State come up to me, and they were not great, great, great when I was coming out of high school. They were bad. And they're like, hey, we got a full ride scholarship. I was like, use it on somebody else because I'm going D1, baby. And that made it difficult for me because if I would have used that Weber State scholarship, I could have turned that into a PWO at other schools and played the recruiting game is what I call it.
Yeah. Kind of leveraged it. But, I mean, the point is kids don't know it. Like, I didn't know it. And I never even looked at that opportunity because I didn't think it was an opportunity. I was like, oh, football's fun. Next thing.
Yeah, and you could have been a running back in the NFL today.
At 5'8".
You were Peyton Hillis, and you just didn't know it.
I could have.
Peyton Hillis was a running back that was on the cover of Madden.
And was he short?
He was Caucasian.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, me too.
Played at Arkansas. He played for the Browns, had an ugly face mask, and you're just like, oh, this poor soul.
I'm glad you said mask. I thought you were just going to say he's got an ugly face.
You know what?
I was like, me too. Both white with ugly faces.
But it's interesting to see because a lot of kids don't understand the opportunities, and then they shut them out, and then they live with regret.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was talking to someone the other day. They're like, could have been somebody. Could have been a contender. Could have been in the NFL. And it's like when you're living in the coulda stage, it's rough. I look at it, I'm like, I was lucky to get out of high school. I don't know who the idiot was that put me on their team, but hey, I made it.
Yeah.
And well, I was pumped about it.
That's back to your expectations because you have those expectations of like, I'm going to be grateful for what I get rather than like, I need, well, I guess when you needed to go D1, but.
Well,
no, I'm just joking.
I got a little cocky there at the end, but I was like, I already made my face on the wall. I would walk into the weight room every day. The coach would be like, you lifting today, Moose? And I'm like, not with that beautiful face staring down
already,
at me.
Already made it. Already made it, biatch.
He's so, like, you're an idiot.
So here's my question, though. How do you have the lower expectations so you're not disappointed? Or you're when you go out and you make something happen, you're just ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time have big goals.
I think when you write your goals down, I mean, you'd be amazed at what you can accomplish in 10 years. Everyone thinks that they can't accomplish in 10 years what they can accomplish in 5. But everyone goes out when they start making goals. They're like, next year at this time, I'm going to be 135 pounds. It's like, dude, you're 400 pounds. 1 year, you can't do that. And I think time is a blessing. And you look at time and you stretch those goals out, you'll achieve them faster than you could ever imagine. That's why I do 5-year plans with people, not 10. I think 10 is a little egregious. I think 1 is unrealistic. But if you make goals that'll push yourself in 5 years, I guarantee you'll hit all those goals and then some if you're really working at it.
So the length is important. And I agree with that. 1 year, we get a little over-optimistic. And then 10 years, we're like, I mean, at least for me, I'm like, 10 years? Am I going to be alive in 10 years? That's freaking forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just need to focus on what's in front of me. But no, I do like that 5-year mark. And that's our company goal is 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, breaking it down into each year and all of that. So,
yeah, 5 years, I think I'm even writing a book about it called The 5-Year Plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to see what people will throw out there, the things they think they can accomplish in 1 year that they'll do in 5. And I'm like, okay, let's push ourselves. Let's really go after this. Let's figure out what it's going to take to get you there. And then you're like, hey, in year one, I can do this. And then they look at their 1-year goals and they're like, everything on here is so achievable. Even if they hit some adversity,
mm-hmm.
they're still going to be able to accomplish those goals within a year. And then the second year, it pushes them. Third year, it pushes them. Fourth year. But most of the people I do these 5-year plans with, I mean, I sat down with a quarterback at a high school just barely, and he's like, hey, you know what? I think I'm a D1 player. I'm like, okay, great. Let's watch your film. And I'm like, I think you'll be lucky to go D3. And Division III, it's no scholarships. You have to pay your own way. It's just the worst.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, what can I do to be D1? I'm like, you have to do this, 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 and this the rest of the season. A lot of these kids are coddled. Their parents think they're just the bee's knees, which as a parent, you should. But I just come in and I ruin dreams and I set expectations for them, and it's really fun.
Ruining dreams, but setting expectations.
Yeah. I'm like, hey. You're not going to BYU. You look eye to eye at me, and your name's not Brenton Covey. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're not playing quarterback. You're not 35-0. You're not the most competitive kid I've ever seen. I mean, Brenton Covey did for football what Happy Gilmore did for golf. where every gave hope to every 5'8"
oh, yeah.
Caucasian kid in the state.
It's my wife's cousin.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. And I love Britton.
He's tiny.
There's nothing Britton can't do. And everyone's like, I have the same stats as Britton. I'm like, no. And then I'll pull up his film, and then I'll pull up their film. And when we can visually see ourselves compared,
yeah,
that's when it helps. Because in my mind, I was like, I was the number one kid in the entire country. And then I look at film at the number one kid and then me, and I'm like, I was a solid number 5. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But it's when people kind of boost up themselves and then don't look at reality. I think film is the most beautiful thing in the world because it really lets us take an outside look at ourselves. I think we can have film on ourselves in so many different areas of life. I mean, you're in school, take a test. That's film. Mm-hmm. You miss this many questions. Well, awesome.
It's because now it's objective, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking like, well, why'd you miss that block? I didn't miss that block, you know, or like, I got him, but yeah, you got him on the wrong shoulder. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, it's just, that's subjective. Now we go to the film and it's objective and there is no more. It's like, this is what happened.
Yeah. I mean,
and you can't lie to yourself because we lie to ourselves a lot without even knowing we're lying to ourselves, right?
Yep.
We remember our memories, which were remembered incorrectly. And then we stand by that.
Yeah, a lot of kids, they think very highly of themselves. And then I'll bring up like a real kid and that's at their position. And they're like, I'm not as good as I once thought I was. And it's like, great. I mean, Puka Nacua, he's the kid that caught the touchdown pass at BYU versus Boise State this last weekend. Mm-hmm. Amazing touchdown catch. Best thing he ever did, he was the best receiver in this state as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. He went to Texas. And with his trainer, Ross Oppo, and he's like, Puka, there's no one in here that can hang with you. Let's take you against the best. And he got his trash kicked. And I'm like, that's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Find somewhere where you can get your absolutely manhandled. And Puka went there, and he's like, I need to work twice as hard. I need to do everything, and I need to do exactly what my trainer says. Because there's someone in Texas, there's someone in Florida, there's someone in Korea. There's someone somewhere that's doing something more than me that's going to take my goals, take what I want from me.
Yeah.
And regret is just a tough pill to swallow. You either have to take the pill of hard work or the pill of regret. Those are your only choices once goals are set.
Last question for you.
Shoot.
What do you want to be remembered by? When Moose is dead, what was your phrase in this floating ball of when you're no longer here?
On this glorious floating rock around the sun?
Glorious floating rock. When somebody remembers Moose, what do you want to be remembered by?
The interesting thing is we always think we'll be remembered a lot more by people that we don't matter to as much. So a lot of people are like, I want to be remembered like, I don't know, like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. Most people aren't like that. I think the people that you can impact the most are your family. And I think that through generations, what you do can echo in the eternities if you teach right principles to kids and if you help them in the right areas. And I want to be remembered for giving my kids and generations a head start, just like my grandpa did for me, mm-hmm. just like my parents did for me. And I want to build upon that and give them the opportunity to not have to do A, B, C, and D, and to start on E or F to really achieve their dreams and their goals. And they're like, because of Moose, I was able to do this. And I think because of Tab and Pam, I was able to do this. Because of Ed, I was able to do this. Because of Ed's dad and Jane, I was able to do this. And I think the impacts and the lessons you teach to your posterity, that's what really matters at the end of the day.
Dope, man. Love it. I missed you a ton because we hadn't seen each other since lunch today.
Oh, it was a tough hour. I had a business meeting. Yeah. I was like, if only Bennett could be on the other side of this, my life would be the best.
Well, we appreciate you having on. We appreciate you being on. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
You're welcome. Come back anytime. We'll have some cookies. We'll talk about the dirty dough of life.
Yes.
And even though
deeper
it's dirty,
than dough, bro.
Deeper than dough?
Yeah, that's the podcast.
How deep can we get?
Got deep already. We're good. Thank you everybody for listening to the Deeper the Dough podcast, and please subscribe to not miss future episodes.